Before we begin our Torah study, let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Amen. It's no coincidence, I think, it's even humorous, that the Torah portion this week talks about paying full price, and yesterday is known in the retail world as what? Black Friday, where you can get everything for a deal, right? And so, as we're reading the Torah portion, and from the writings as well today, I want you to pay attention to what Abraham values, and what King David values, and what the Lord values. And interestingly, for everyone who likes a good deal, the Lord doesn't always value a discount. So with that in mind, let's turn to Genesis chapter 23. We'll start in verse 1 for our studies. And you can find these scriptures both in your Bible, if you have old school, good school Bible. How many people have paper Bibles with them? Wow. Okay. How many have your digital Bibles? Wow. How many of you forgot your Bibles? When I was first a believer, I learned to bring my Bible with me to services, always. And I wouldn't come to services without my Bible, and I always came to services. It felt like I would be naked if I didn't have a Bible. How many of you can relate to that? It's like, oh, I'm not really with them. I don't have what I need. So I encourage you, always come. The Bereans were considered to be more noble. Why? Because they checked the scriptures, which is not an easy thing to do when you're working with scrolls rather than pages. But they did. We read today about the death of Sarah and the fact that Abraham has nowhere to bury her. He was an immigrant. That's an important word. Say that with me, immigrant. He was a foreigner. He was an alien in the society in which he lived. He did not have legal rights as a citizen. He did not have any property. He owned no real property. He had his possessions, but he did not have any land. And even though God had promised him all the land of Canaan, at this point, Abraham owns absolutely none of it. And he has a dilemma. Where will he bury his wife? His beloved Sarah. This is what we're reading about. Genesis chapter 23, starting in verse 1. Sarah lived to be 127 years old. These were the years of Sarah's life. Sarah died in Kiryat Arba, also known as Hebron, or Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn Sarah and to weep for her. And then he got up from the dead one, his dead one. And he said to the sons of Chet, I am a foreigner living as an alien. That's an interesting proclamation. He's making clear what they already know. He's not hiding it. He is expressing it. He's saying, I'm a foreigner here, and I'm living as an alien. I don't have citizenship rights with you. Let me have a burial site with you so that I can bury my dead wife. Now, the language sounds, let me have. It sounds like he's saying, give me, doesn't it? Give me. Let's read on. Verse 5. The sons of Chet answered Abraham, listen to us, my Lord. You are prince of God among us. So choose any one of our tombs to bury your dead. Not one of us would refuse you his tomb for burying your dead. Abraham got up. He bowed before the people of the land, the sons of Chet, and he spoke with them. If it's your desire to help me bury my dead, then listen to me. Ask Ephron, the son of Zohar, to give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns, the one at the end of his field. So ask him to give it to me. Doesn't it sound like he wants Ephron just to make a gift of it? Give it to me. It sounds that way to us, but we need to read on. because Abraham goes on and he says this, he should sell it to me in your presence at its full value, and then I will have a burial site of my own, a burial site that belongs to me. He wanted to pay for it. Abraham wanted to own it free and clear. He wanted to own it permanently, officially, publicly, so that it would be a place not only for Sarah temporarily, but permanently. He wanted to honor the wife of his covenant marriage. He loved her. Through her, he received a covenant son. And so in life and in death, he wanted to be faithful and give the best that he could for her. So he clarifies, Abraham is saying, sell it to me. Verse 10, Ephron the Hittite was sitting among the sons of Chet, and he gave Abraham his answer in the presence of the sons of Chet, who belonged to the ruling council of the city. No, my lord, listen to me. I'm giving you the field with its cave. I'm giving it to you. In the presence of my people, I give it to you. So doesn't it sound like he's giving it? Sounds like he's giving it. But this is the Middle East. You have to learn how people talk and how they express gracious, honorable intent to buy. Verse 12, Abraham bowed before the people of the land. He spoke to Ephron in their hearing. Please be good enough to listen to me. I will pay the price of the field. Accept it from me, and I will bury my dead there. But Ephron answered Abraham, my lord, listen to me. Okay, now listen carefully, because here's where you understand for sure this is a negotiation of sorts. They're not bargaining, but the real question is this property for sale, and will it be paid for? No one's talking about a gift. Here's how we know. A plot of land worth 400 silver shekels? What's that between me and you? When you're trying to make a gift for free, you don't give the price. Do you understand that? Okay. Just bury your dead. This is a very nice way of saying, I have a firm price, 400 silver shekels. And shekels aren't coins, they're measures of weight at that time. Later on, they're coins. Verse 16, I love David Stern's translation. Abraham got the point. He got the point of what Ephron had said, so he weighed out for Ephron the amount of money he specified. In the presence of the sons of Chet, 400 silver shekels of the weight accepted among merchants. Now, just to clarify things, you know in English the word give can also mean pay. And the word give can also mean sell. You may not have thought of this, but have you ever been, say, at a flea market or at a yard sale, and you see something and you say to the person running the show, I'll give you $50 for that. What you're saying is, I will pay you $50 for that. You're not saying, I will give you $50. You're saying, I'll pay you. But you use the word give, right? And if they don't like that price, they'll say something like, well, I can give it to you for $75. So give, in that case, means sell. In the first case, it means pay. In the same way, when Abraham and Ephron are talking about giving, they're really talking about buying and selling. Do you see that now? So don't be confused. The language may be confusing if you think giving only means for free. This is also helpful spiritually when God says, I give you something. You may have to pay for it. Don't be reluctant. God said to Abraham, I give you all this land. And now Sarah's dead. What does he have to do? He starts paying for it. And so all of the wealth that he has, he attributes to the Lord. It's honorable wealth. He's paid his tithes on his wealth. And with that money, he now purchases land. Do you see? And so he can say, Lord, you gave me this land. How? because he gave him the means by which he had the resources. So don't think that everything that God wants to give you will come for free. It may be free in a sense if you understand the resources came from the Lord. And so you're giving what he gave. But in any case, when the Lord says, I promise you all this land, you may have to pay for it. Verse 17, thus the field of Ephron and Machpelah, which is by Mamre, the field, its cave and all the trees in and around it were deeded. Isn't that interesting? They were officially written up and recorded to Abraham as his possession in the presence of the sons of Chet, who belonged to the ruling council of the city. And then Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah by Mamre, also known as Hebron in the land of Canaan. The field and its cave had been purchased by Abraham from the sons of Chet as a burial site, which would belong to him. Now, to this day, the cave of Machpelah remains. It is identified. It's recognized. It's a known place. And Machpelah, one of the translations of it is the double cave or the cave with a fold in it. There are reported to be two chambers there. And not only is Sarah buried there, but Abraham is buried there. And a number of the patriarchs and their wives. There's a legend that Adam and Eve are also buried there. Can't verify that myself. It's not in the scriptures that they are. So Machpelah. Now what's interesting is Abraham is paying full price, right? But how many of us like bargains? Right? And can you imagine Amazon having, you know, we'll call it Black Sunday? Everything's full price. What do you think that's going to do for sales? Nothing. It's not going to help at all. But here we're seeing full price, that Abraham's paying full price, and one of the benefits for Abraham is he paid the price that was asked, and he got an official deed. And that deed is recognized to this day, some thousands of years later. That's a successful transaction, wouldn't you agree? Now, King David also faced a similar situation when he was buying property. He had to buy land so that he could give it to the Lord. So it's interesting. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And David has had some troubles with the Lord because he counted the population. He counted those who were eligible to serve in the army. But without the blessings of God, without the directions of God, and without, if I remember correctly, without giving the offerings that are required when you take muster. And so it aroused the anger of the Lord. In any case, there was a breaking of fellowship between David and the Lord because of this, and David knew it. And then the Lord sends an angel to bring a message to Gad the Jebusite, who owns a piece of property, and this angel comes with a sword. That's a scary prospect. Not just that he has a sword, but that it's out of its sheath, because that indicates, depending on how you answer, we may or may not use this sword. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 18, the angel of the Lord ordered Gad, or in Hebrew, God, but if you say God in English, no one knows what you're talking about, Gad, to tell David to go up and to build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor. Now, here's a funny name. There are so many different pronunciations of this name. One is Aravna. Can you say that? Aravna. Another one is Arona, something like that. And then there's another place in Scripture where it's just Ornan. Ornan. And so this is one of the peculiarities of Hebrew and the Semitic languages, that when they contain a vav in their long in full version that Vav can be pronounced several different ways as a V sound or as an U sound. So like David in Hebrew and Arabic is pronounced Daoud. So it can also be shortened by taking out the Vav, and so you end up with something altogether different, which is how you get Arnon, Ornon. So you can say it any way you want. How do you like it? How do you like his name? How do you all normally pronounce his name? Yeah, okay, you go with the easy version. By the way, parents, you should pick up your toddlers and your children. You can return if you'd like. But if you have children in the Shabbat school, the young ones, you can go pick those up. Pick them up. Where am I? Verse 18, the angel of the Lord ordered Gad to tell David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. So David went up in obedience to the word that Gad had spoken in the name of the Lord. While Araunah was threshing wheat, he turned and saw the angel. His four sons who were with him hid themselves. In other words, a normal response. That's a big guy with a big sword. And then David approached, and when Araunah looked and saw him, he left the threshing floor and bowed down before David with his face to the ground. And David said to him, let me have the site of your threshing floor so I can build an altar to the Lord that the plague and the people on the people may be stopped. There was a plague that was moving through because of David's disobedience. But again, it sounds like he's asking for it for free. Let me have it. But it really means sell it to me. And it says that, sell it to me at full price. All of you from New York City who order pizza, you know how this works. When you get up to order pizza, you say, like, give me two slices, right? And you don't mean give me two slices for free. You mean I want two slices and I'll pay for them. And they understand that. It's very polite in New York, maybe nowhere else. Sell it to me at the full price. Verse 23, Araunah said to David, take it. Let my lord the king do whatever pleases him. Look, I'll give the oxen for the burnt offerings and the threshing sledges for the wood and the wheat for the grain offering. I'll give you all of this. But King David replied, no. And this is very interesting. I insist on paying full price. Say full price with me. Full price. And then he explains, and his explanation is powerful. I will not take for the Lord what is yours. And I won't sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing. I will only give to the Lord what's mine and that I have paid for, so then it's a real sacrifice. That is so awesome. And David is moving in that same attitude that Abraham had. I want to give to the Lord my sacrifices. So when the Lord says to Abraham, give me your son, Abraham says, I will. He withholds nothing. He's willing to pay with the most dear things that he has, knowing all of it came from the Lord. David says, I won't make a sacrifice that costs me nothing. He would not offer to the Lord that which belongs to another person. You see, in a sense, this is the priestly attitude. When the priests would offer up the sacrifices that the people brought them, they were not offering them up as if it was the priest's sacrifice, but on behalf of the people who brought the sacrifice. Do you see the difference? I won't take for the Lord what's yours. And I won't make a sacrifice that costs me nothing. What I give to the Lord has to be precious to me. It has to be valuable to me. David has had some change of heart here because he is wanting to be wholehearted with the Lord. This is so important to understand. When you want a deal, don't try to deal with God. When you want to bargain, don't try to bargain with God. That's why God says, bring me the full tithe. Don't try to negotiate a discount on this. Abraham takes it seriously. God says, bring me the offering from the top, not from what's left over. Only people whose hearts are really solid can do it. And when the Lord had a complaint against Israel about the wrong heart condition, he would say, you bring me the defective things. You bring me the things you don't even want. I remember once we were doing a humanitarian project, and hundreds of people in one country collected all the worn-out shoes they had, all the junk in their closets, and they paid good money to have it sent to another country where it was an embarrassment. It was a shame. It was a scandal. They weren't giving the best. They were giving what they hated, what they did not even want. David paid. It says in verse 25, David paid Araunah 600 shekels of gold for the site. David built an altar to the Lord there, and he sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And it ends with this: he called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offering. That's really important, because David wasn't fully sure that he had been reconciled to the Lord and restored to the Lord. And you know, there's the story of the sons of Aaron who offered up strange fire. And fire did come from heaven. And so there was precedent. You be careful when you're out of fellowship with God. Don't presume that your sacrifices are acceptable. Yeshua was mindful of that. He said, you know, in the end, there are going to be people who say, we did all this stuff in your name, miracles. And he says, evildoers, get out of here. I don't even know you. David paid, he built an altar to the Lord, he made his sacrifices, he called on the Lord, and the Lord answered him, and most important, he knew he was restored to the Lord. He didn't want to bargain because he wanted to show the Lord that his relationship with God was priceless. And it was an opportunity to show the Lord what was in his heart. You see, obedience that's wholehearted, that's what God's looking for. He's not looking for reluctance. He's not looking for half-hearted or double-minded. And he'll use everything to help us become wholehearted. And he wants from us what he has, wholeheartedness. The Lord loves us, and he wants us to respond with love as well. If you have difficulty understanding this, all you guys who are married, think about this. Think about your wife. What does she want? She wants wholehearted love, right? Right? So you can't, if she says, do you love me? You're supposed to say, yes, honey, I love you. And to say it tenderly and dearly, and not to say, I told you that before we got married. Nothing's changed. If she says, kiss me, you don't say, man, I kissed you last week. She wants continued expressions. Am I right, ladies? Truth is, the guys feel the same way. We want continuing love, continuing devotion, continuing relationship and trust and commitment. Isn't it true, guys? We want that too. That's what God wants. He wants continuation. And he wants us to know something. He wants us to know that when he had to purchase us, he valued us at full price. He could have said, I know what they're really like. I'll give an arm or a leg. I'll give a finger. But no, he gave himself. We'll close with some scriptures here about how God paid the price for us. Luke 23, verse 46. Yeshua is hanging on the cross. He gives a loud cry and he says, "Father, into your hands I give my spirit." And when he said this, he gave up his spirit. He actually gave up his spirit to the Lord. That's part of how he paid the price for us. Galatians 1, verses 3 through 5. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins. Can you imagine that? He purchased us. He paid with his very life for the sins which we were guilty of. And he paid for the sins, and he paid with his life in order to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Yeshua gave himself for our sins. Matthew 20, verse 28 says it this way, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He gave his life. So when he looked at you, no matter what condition you were in, he recognized the rule that sin and death had over you. He saw the ravages, he saw the effect on you, and he didn't try to discount your life. He paid full price for you and for me. He paid with everything he had to ransom us and to purchase us. John 3:16 and 17 says it this way, "For God so loved the world." Say that with me. "For God so loved the world." What was motivating him? It was his love for the whole world. "That he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Why did he do this? Because of his love. So he loved us even when we were enemies of his. He loved us even when we were disqualified from his kingdom. He loved us before we'd begun to get anything right with him. Verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God paid full price. You know what's precious to God? He pays for. What he loves, he pays for. And then it's his. So he paid for you. So you know what that means? You're his. And so we're called to live like we're his, to value him and to value those he loves, to treat each other as if we're deserving of his love, even though we know we're not deserving. But we look and we recognize each other and say, "You know what? You belong to God. You belong to God. He paid full price for you." When you're tempted to discount people because they're different from you, because they voted differently, because they live in a different neighborhood, because they speak with a different accent, because their education is different, because of all the markers that people have for why they evaluate who's different, they're taller or shorter or older or younger, whatever it is. When you are tempted to discount them, understand this: God paid full price for that person. Don't try to relate to them at a discount. And I want to encourage you, don't try to discount your faith with God. He wants the best from you. He offered the best. He made atonement with the best. He wants the full tithe. He wants the whole heart. He wants all of your strength and your power. your commitment. He wants the very best, just like you want inside of your family. He wants inside of his family. And so I encourage you, give him your best. Don't start negotiating. As much as you like a deal, use that at the store, but not in your faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your son, that none of us would perish, but we would have eternal life. Thank you for giving up your life, Yeshua, to be a ransom for us. Thank you for showing love and faith to us, even when we were enemies and hostile to you. Thank you for dying that we could live. Thank you for resurrection life that proves to us your power and your authority over all creation. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is like a first payment for the future. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, that we would not live in our own power, but we would live with the Spirit of God inside of us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? And if you're standing by yourself, I encourage you to move so you're not by yourself. It's that simple. But I might be standing next to a stranger. Yes, but a nice stranger. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yuchnecha yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.